Here we go. We are up to the Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi was Reb Tzvi Hirsch Ashkenazi. Reb Tzvi Hirsch Ashkenazi was one of a very, very influential Rav in his time. Very influential Rav. He was the father of Reb Yaakov Emden. So this is, you know, a precursor to Reb Yaakov Emden and everything that comes along with it. And who was he? When did he live? Who was he related to? Like all good, you know, Jewish people. Let's do some Jewish geography. And what was he known most for? So the truth is, this is a really easy one. Because you're going to hear about this sefer many times over the next few months. There was an autobiography. Again, people don't like these type of wordings, but there was a biography written by the Yavetz himself. The Yavetz and Reb Yaakov Emden are synonymous. Okay? Reb Yaakov Emden from the city of Emden was Yaakov ben Tzvi. Yavetz. That's why we call him, right?
That's what I've heard.
No. Yaakov, because he was only Emden for 3 years. It was really out of his whole entire life. Reb Yaakov Emden only lived in Emden for 3 years. That's it. So,
what was his last name?
Yeah,
Ashkenazi.
So they didn't really have surnames. So Reb Yaakov Emden wrote an autobiography. It's called Megillas Sefer. This is the show and tell for today. Megillas Sefer. They reprinted it recently. Told us the, you know, lineage of the Chacham Tzvi and Reb Yaakov Emden. And he writes fascinating stuff. If you ever want a good bedtime read, this is unbelievable. The stuff he writes about himself. Who's very into it? Not Rabbi Schechter. Rabbi Schechter. Yeah? Rabbi J.J. Schechter. He wrote a whole... his thesis, actually, for his doctorate was on this very Sefer. Do you know that? On this autobiography, Megillas Sefer. Anyone familiar? Okay. So, Rabbi Yaakov Emden walks you through who my father was and what his life was all about. And he speaks very candidly. Rabbi Yaakov Emden talks about his own life very candidly. I had this and this ailment, and this is, you know, the symptoms that I was suffering from, and my head was really hurting, like, every step along the way. And Reb Yonasan Eibschitz, let me tell you about him, too, and had some nice choice words. It's a really rare work in what it was coming to do. So, this is like a first-hand account. He was coming to share with you his life experiences, which is not common. We find it by the Chida also. We mentioned last week the Pre-Chadash.
Yeah, it was more like diary entries.
It was, but it, on the way,
it doesn't seem to be diary entries.
Essentially, it was. It was really he was mapping out his life, his lifetime, for who, for his future generations. So he walks you through who his father was. So when was he born? First of all, this is the picture. Yeah. This is one picture of the Chacham Tzvi. No one can see, but yeah. And here's another picture of the Chacham Tzvi. Nice to go to show and tell. So when was he born? He was born, let's have some fun, buckle up. He was born in the city. Yeah, Tuf Yud Ches.
1658.
Very good. He was born in 1658. How do you remember this? Because we're going to repeat it every time. 1240. The turn of the five. We're in 5000 and Tafshin Pei Gimel. Tafshin Pei Gimel. The turn of the last 5000th was in the year 1240. So whenever you see one of these short years, Tuf Yud Ches. You just add 1240 and you'll get to the Common Era.
Is it really that much longer to add on one more letter?
Good question. But yeah, the answer is it just gets confusing. Hey, no one realizes Dalet, Gimel. You get to like Shoiftim and the Malachim and you see Gimels and then you get to Avram Avinu, there's like Bezes. It's weird. So you just think Tuf Shin Pei Gimel and you work backwards. So he's born in Tuf Yud Ches and his father, this is just to put it in perspective, we've now finished all the Mefarshim, all the Poskim on the page of Shulchan Aruch. Oh, it's not true. If anyone's keeping track,
getting them?
No. I'm talking about the older ones. There are two major ones that we haven't spoken about. Very good. I remember, and we're not going to embarrass anyone, because I suffered the embarrassment, so we're not going to do it to anyone else. I remember a Rebbe of mine in 11th grade. He was quoting, we were learning Gittin, and Rabbi Milinowitz, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, went, and he was a very sharp man, and he really demanded things from you. So he was quoting Chalkas Mechaikik, and he's saying it over, and he says, wait a second, does anyone know who this person was? And silence. A bunch of 11th graders, silence. He's like, can anyone tell me who wrote on the side of each Shulchan Aruch? I remember the feeling of feeling so clueless. So, I get that feeling in other areas, but this area I ended up learning. But it was really, he's like, okay, Orach Chaim, go. And the silence was painful. Nobody knew the answers. So everyone's like, oh, Mogen Avraham, okay, good. Taz, okay, good. That's Orach Chaim. Yerdeya? Mogen Avraham, no. Taz? Yes, and the Shach. That's the Yerdeya. Okay, Choshe Mishpat. More silence. I'll bail you out. Choshe Mishpat is the Shach and the Sma, the Sefer Meiras Einayim, who was the Drisha and the Prisha. And then when you get to Evan Ho'ezer, the last part of Shulchan Aruch, it's the Chalkas Mechaikek from Moshe Lima from Vilna, and the Beis Shmuel. We're also going to get to. Those are the last two we haven't really gotten to. Okay? So, where are we now? And why did I even get into this? Where was I going?
Because you said we did everyone. Because you feel like you understand how we felt when you were in 7th grade.
No. It was 11th. Very good. And, no, that was not the reason. Okay. So, where are we now? Oh, that's where we're going. So we've mentioned many times, you know, we're putting all perspective in the timeline. Who was the father of the Polish Torah world? Rabbi Yaakov Polak, who was actually of German descent, came to Poland and started the first yeshiva. Rabbi Yaakov Polak was the Rebbe of... No. Rabbi Shalom Shachna, who was the Rebbe of the Marshal and the Ramah. Now these are more familiar names, Marshal, Ramah. And then everyone afterwards all comes from them. So the Chacham Tzvi's father learned by Rabbi Yaakov Polak. Not too shabby. His father-in-law was the Shar Ephraim. Shar Ephraim was the Rav in Vilna. The Rav in Vilna counterparts with the Shach.
Oh, no.
Very good. That's a common misnomer and a mistake. That's the Sharei Ephraim. This is the Shar Ephraim. One yud makes all the difference. Okay? So now, when did he live? He lived in the year, he was born in the year 1658. He actually lived a pretty long life, the Chacham Tzvi, and he had a very seasoned career. He was born in, where was it? I don't remember. In Poland? Yeah. I think he was born actually in Vilna, if I'm not mistaken. We could double check. And, no, it's not. I don't know. Okay, we'll look it up. So, there's actually a crazy story. There's actually a crazy story that happened with the Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi, I remember I was once challenged by a Rebbe of mine, who said, Rabbi Lerner went and said, that, does anyone know why the Chacham Tzvi wouldn't paskin Aguna Shailas? And obviously, I was the guy who liked to claim I knew something about history, so he liked to pick on me. Davis, find out by tomorrow. So, there it was. I had the duty, and I actually found it. It's a story brought in the Megillah Sefer, because Rabbi Yaakov Emden quotes a story about his grandfather, the Shar Ephraim. Shar Ephraim lived through Tach V'Tah, which was Chelnitsky and terrible, terrible massacres. 2 million people were killed over those years, 1648, 1649, and there were terrible questions that arose about Agunas. Yeah, because people were murdered in cold blood and everyone fled. So the wife may have fled, the husband was murdered in cold blood, and she doesn't even know if he's alive or not alive, can we assume? So what happened was, the story is told about the Sharifaim's own relative. The Sharifaim's own relative went and... what's her name?
How do you look at those people doing?
Rabbi Yaakov. Oh, sorry. It was his... Rabbi Yaakov was the Sharifaim's own son-in-law, who ended up becoming son-in-law, was on the run, and Edom came along and saw the Cossacks come, and he was kneeling on his knees, and the Cossack sword in his hand, and he was lowering his head, and that's usually how the story ends. We don't need to fill in the rest. So what happened was that an aide came forward and said, Rabbi Yaakov was killed. He was killed. And I'm an aide. I'm testifying. His wife can go remarry. He's dead. So they brought the shayla to the Sharifaim. The Sharifaim went and paskined. I believe it was his own daughter, if I'm not mistaken. I believe it was his own daughter. And... Paskin that, yeah, the Adis is an Adis, and she can go remarry. And it didn't sit well with her. And she couldn't bring herself to remarry. She just felt that he was still alive. So, there's, two ways to go. As hard as it is, it's maybe time to move past. But she couldn't. And 2 years later, she gets a knock on the door. Rabbi Yaakov is there. And it's a testament to the Gemara. Afilu cherev chadam unachas al tzavarecha. Even you have a sharp sword on your neck, you never give up hope. You can always daven. There's always a ray of hope. And he actually pleaded. He pleaded with the Cossack and said, "What is my life even worth to you? What's it even worth to you? I'm not even worth anything to you, so just spare me. Let me go." And he actually struck a chord, and the guy said, "Get out of here. Run. I don't want to see you." Spared his life, and from then on, the Chacham Tzvi was Mekabel. I don't want to paskin any Aguna Shailos, because it was my own family. There was a potential pitfall. So, what is he most known for? Shailos Hatshuvas Chacham Tzvi. Why was he called Chacham Tzvi? He was Ashkenazi. That was actually his last name. Chacham or Svardim, right? He was uber Ashkenaz. He was the Rav in Germany, in the Gimel Kehilas. This is a very important thing we're going to hear. We're probably going to do a part two on the Chacham Tzvi. So, the Chacham Tzvi went and he was the Rav in the Gimel Kehilas. What were the Gimel Kehilas? Ahu, that's the acronym. Aleph, Hey, and Vav. Ahu was, anyone want to take a shot at it? Okay. The Gimel Kehilas were the most prestigious three communities in the whole Germany.
Hamburg,
very good. No, Wandsbek. And what's the Aleph?
Antwerp.
No, that's in the Netherlands. That's in Belgium, actually. Hamburg, that's the Hay, Vav is Wandsbek, and Aleph is Altoona. So, he was the Rav of the Gimel Kehilas. And he was offered many, many Rabbanus positions across the world. And one of them he ended up moving to the Netherlands. And in the Netherlands, in that area of town, there was always two Kehilas that coexisted for about 400 or 500 years. In Amsterdam, there was always two Kehilas, and he was so beloved by the neighboring Svardi Kehila, they referred to Reb Tzvi Ashkenazi from Deutschland, right, as Chacham Tzvi, and that name actually stuck. So when he wrote his Tshuva Svarim, and he named them Chacham Tzvi, because that was the name that he became known as And that's the svarim we have. One other thing we're gonna do a part two on the Chacham Tzvi. We're running out of time. Was his what was he most known for? And this is really gonna bring us to Shabtai Tzvi, not the Chacham Tzvi. Shabtai Tzvi, Shem Rishoyim Yirkov Yemach Shemoy. That he fought fiercely to the death, trying to sniff out and rat out any Sabbatian followers for all generations. Nechemya Chiyun, all of them. They made their way through Amsterdam, they made their way through Europe, and he was one of the four people at the forefront. With Rabbi Yaakov Emden, that was the source of the machlokes with Rabbi Yonos and Eibschitz. It was over Shabtai Tzvinik. So, that's the Chacham Tzvi. We just touched upon the beginning, to be continued, and we should all be able to grasp what we can. Stick up for what you believe in. Shkoyach.
What are we doing, Shabbat?